is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner. Today I'm speaking with Emily Stimson Chapman, a best-selling Catholic author of over a dozen books, including her newest books, The Story of All Stories, A Story Bible for Young Catholics, Around the Catholic Table, and Sacred Wine, The Holy History and Heritage of Catholic Vintners. Emily is an award-winning journalist and essayist who writes on a range of topics, from politics and catechesis to higher education and the media, with a special focus on the Church's teachings on marriage, sexuality, and femininity. You can find Emily's writing on Instagram and on Substack. Emily lives in Steubenville, Ohio, where she and her husband Chris are raising their three young children. Emily, I'm delighted to have you with us today to discuss one of your latest books, Sacred Wine. Emily, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me, Rita. It's a great joy to be here.
Emily, I'd love to start by hearing a little bit more about Sacred Wine. Maybe you could just give us a broad summary for our listeners who are curious to learn more about what they might discover in this book.
Sure. It is essentially a coffee table book. So it is hardback. It is filled with beautiful full color photos. It's meant to be something that you sit down and read a little bit at a time, or a guest come over to your house and read a little bit at a time. But what it does is it tells the story of the development of winemaking and how that development was entangled with Catholicism, really how it was shaped by Catholicism. So there's an essay on wine and its sacramental and, I guess, sort of symbolic meaning within the Catholic faith. And then we walk through 12 different wineries that are in Italy and Spain and France, and look at their story and how the story of Catholicism shaped that story and was shaped by the wine. So it's a really fun, really beautiful, light but lovely book.
I love that. I love the images that are included within it and how they pair with the stories and the history. How did that come together? Were you involved in the images as well? Was that a conversation?
No, so the book was actually, I was commissioned to write it back in 2020. So early in the pandemic, their Marian Press was like, Emily, you write beautifully about food and wine. Do you want to do this book? I was like, sure. But I told them, I'm going to, you know, we're in the process of adopting another child. Right. We don't know when a baby could come along, so everything might shift. And not only did a baby come along a month after we had signed that contract, but when we got back with that baby, we found out that our first son's biological parents were pregnant again and wanted us to adopt again. So another baby was coming in 7 months more. So this book got shoved back to 2022, and it's still COVID and nobody's going anywhere and no one's taking any pictures. So I had to do most of the research, you know, online, right, in books, like phone calls, and nobody could even get over there to photograph things.
Oh my gosh. We
were reliant on photographers in Europe to provide a lot of pictures. I think Marian Press did send one crew finally over at the end of everything once people could travel freely again.
Oh my goodness.
But when they asked me to do the book, we thought everything would be back to normal,
right,
very quickly. Like, there was no conception that it would take as long as it did. And so I had seen a lot of the images from the photographers, but I didn't get to pick any of them or do any art direction or anything like that.
Right.
So we were at the mercy of what we could get.
I wasn't even thinking about the timing of that and just the world shutting down. And you would think all of this would be very accessible in a normal
world, or in a pre-child world. I would have been like, I'm coming over myself. I'll send pictures.
The dream. Yes.
But yeah, it didn't quite happen. It didn't quite happen that way.
Oh, so to see it come together for you must have been really beautiful in a way, to see these images about these places that you knew only remotely yourself.
It was like, I didn't remember what I'd written. I guess 5 years had gone by. So it was like discovering the book as just another person who was reading the book. I was like, oh, this is lovely. I wrote that. I don't remember writing that. I had two babies under one at the time that I wrote the book, plus a 3-year-old. So really, I had the joy of rediscovering it all over again.
A brand new read, even for you.
Yeah, it's
Oh,
amazing. I was like,
that's so
don't remember
beautiful.
anything from that period of my life.
I love that. So much has changed in 5 years since taking this project on initially, I imagine, for
Yeah.
you personally and in the world. So a very different scene. I love how you mentioned that there is no way to untangle the history of wine and the history of the church. I'd love to hear you unpack that a little more for us because you write it so beautifully in the book, but kind of can you walk that through for us a little bit here, how you see them so inextricably connected?
I mean, obviously, people have been making wine for about as long as there have been people. Wine functionally makes itself. We just have to help the process along a little bit. But when the Roman Empire collapsed, all of these vineyards were left to waste. And it was the monks who began resettling that land and replanting the vineyards and continuing the tradition of winemaking. And those monks could do what you or I or people with families could not do. They had so much time. They had centuries where they were working the same land and they could focus on it and figure out how does this grape grow in this plot of land? And if we add this to the soil, what happens? If we change the way that we're storing the wine, what happens? And so you see this real development of winemaking, and it becomes something not just good and enjoyable, but fine and an art form and something that is really a peak achievement of human culture to make these great wines, particularly in France, but also in Italy and or, Spain, wherever there's this culture, winemaking's entangled with it. So we really owe Catholicism a huge debt for its contributions to winemaking, and they needed wine because of the mass. So that was one of the motivations for really tending the vines and having the very best wine that they could have to become, of course, the blood of our Lord.
So beautiful. I love that. As you were writing, have you ever visited any of these places yourself personally yet?
I have visited, so I've been to Saint-Emilion in France. So
Oh, how
my
wonderful.
cousin, I call her my cousin. She's our mother. Our parents were all best friends, and so we grew up really as closer than cousins. And she married into French wine royalty, and they operate three vineyards in the Bordeaux region. And so I've gotten to go over there, and a lot of what I know about, I learned a lot about winemaking from Liz and Franz and our visits. And so that has definitely helped.
That's amazing. And that predates the book.
That predates the book by, yes, a good almost 2 years, 20 years.
Yeah. I love how God does that for us. He prepares us in ways we don't know that we could ever need to be prepared. And then he connects the dots later. That's really beautiful.
I had no intention of ever writing a book about wine, and God laid the foundation, and it gave me the confidence to say yes, just because of my family
Sure.
connections with people who are deeply involved in winemaking. And so
Yeah.
Saint-Emilion is an amazing place to visit, and not a lot of tourists get there, but it is, I got to describe a lot of it in the book, and so that was
Oh, how
fun.
special. That's so beautiful. And is there one that you would love to visit that you've only discovered through your research, but you haven't gotten to experience personally? And if you could go there today, you'd head on over.
I would hop a plane and go to Cannes, where you can take a little ferry over to Saint-Honorat, and there is a remarkable winery there on a little island just off the coast of Cannes. And people who go to the film festival will ferry over, but you can also do retreats there. And the monks are still making the wine today. There's a restaurant where you can taste them. So, especially when it's really gray and cold in the Ohio Valley, I'm like, take me to Saint-Honorat. That's where I want to go.
I bet you certainly get your share of snow out there. And I wondered if there was anything surprising as you were doing the research, anything that you were just surprised to discover about this relationship between wine and the church or the different monks who were involved, or was there anything that was just a whoa, that just astonishes me?
I think what's beautiful to see how history keeps circling back on itself. So monasteries that were abandoned You have vineyards that were abandoned when the Roman Empire collapsed and the monasteries come and then they are abandoned. But then monks come back or people come back and these vineyards continue. And there is such long life and history and tradition in the care of the vines and the making of the wine. And it is beautiful to see that thread that connects past and present and how it,
I love that.
yeah, just keeps coming back to the vines.
That's so beautiful. Was there anything as you were working on it, as you were writing, that you felt was really nurturing your own faith journey?
I mean, I always pray as I write, especially writing with small children. There's a lot of begging for help and clarity and God to make the words straight. So everything I write is an act of prayer and only is made possible by prayer at this point. Looking back to then, I was in such a newborn haze, having two little ones underneath the age
Sure.
of one. I don't know how I actually wrote the book. I'm not. That, I'm sure it's like a miracle in itself that it exists.
Well, God was clearly involved in this, and as he is in all things, but in helping any writing mother complete a project to this extent, because it is in depth. There's a lot that you must have had to pull together to make it all happen and to do it with such tiny children. It's just amazing. Our guest today is Catholic author and speaker Emily Stimson Chapman. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. I'm Rita Bittner. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. A powerful symbol from one of Baltimore's most memorable Catholic moments is getting new life. Crews have completed restoration work on the 30-foot cross used during Pope John Paul II's historic 1995 Mass at Oriel Park at Camden Yards. The cross, made of steel and plexiglass, stood at the altar during that Mass before a capacity crowd and was even kissed by the Pope, making it a third-class relic. Since 1998, it has stood on the grounds of the O'Dwyer Retreat Center in Sparks, where years of weather caused rust and structural wear. Now refurbished, the cross continues to serve as a place of prayer and reflection, what retreat leaders describe as a visible reminder of Christ and the enduring faith of the local church. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Bishop Walsh School in Cumberland captured the Maryland State Mock Trial Championship for the second consecutive year, continuing a dominant run that highlights the students' courtroom skills and teamwork. The back-to-back titles reinforce the school's growing reputation in the competitive program, where students argue cases and perform as attorneys and witnesses in a realistic courtroom setting. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. King Charles III is calling for peace and unity grounded in faith. Addressing a joint session of the U.S. Congress this week, the King pointed to Christianity as a firm anchor and daily inspiration guiding both individuals and communities. He emphasized shared values between the United States and the United Kingdom, highlighting the importance of compassion, mutual understanding, and cooperation across faiths. The address comes amid global tensions, including the conflict involving Iran and continued war in Ukraine, with the King urging nations to work together for what he called a just and lasting peace. He also reflected on the Easter season as a source of hope and pointing to the long-standing alliance between the two nations as a force for stability in uncertain times. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit Archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner, and we're talking today with Catholic author and speaker Emily Stimson Chapman. Emily, it's been so wonderful to learn more about your work on sacred wine, the holy history and heritage of Catholic vintners. But this is just one of your recent books. You have three, really, that have come out in just quick succession, just how things happened to happen, I suppose. I'd love to hear more about what you've been publishing and what you're working on now.
Yeah, so it's even more obnoxious than three. I've actually had four books come out.
Oh my goodness.
Between like September and March, I had four books. So that was insane. But as I would say, you know, some of them were written a long time ago, like Sacred Wine. You're always at the mercy of your publisher when those things are going to come out. And then The Story of All Stories is a story Bible for young Catholics that came out through Word on Fire. And it is just my most favorite thing I've ever done. It was such a grace and a privilege to work on that. It really tells the story of salvation history as a story. It reads almost like a chapter book. And so it teaches readers young and old. I'm always amazed how many adults love it, just to see the coherence of salvation history. And like, here is the story of the Bible. Wow. And this is how God has been working through human history to lead us to himself. And it is gorgeously illustrated on every page by the amazing Latvian illustrator, Diana Renzina. And that was just a grace to work on. I have a cookbook, Around the Catholic Table, that came out in the fall as well. And that is really a handbook for hospitality. So there's lots of easy recipes that can feed a family or a crowd, but also reflections on hospitality and wine and what it means to open your home to others and how you do it without losing your mind or your budget. And then I had a children's book on St. Joseph that just released recently through the St. Paul Center, it's one in the series that I've done with Scott Hahn, where I take his adult theological ideas and turn them into books for younger readers. So it's been a busy season.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Being a mother and having three young children, do you feel like that helps you as you're approaching some of these projects that are geared toward a younger reader?
I mean, I think everyone decided Emily should start writing children's books as soon as I had babies. You know, I always say I'm in the tradition of, you know, G.K. Chesterton. I am a Catholic hack writer. I have been, you know, writing on commission for over 20 years now. When people ask me to do things, I say yes. And I think people decided Emily can write anything. She can do children's books. And at first I thought they were crazy. I was like, no, I write for adults. But it ended up being such a joy. And I have my kids here who I get to, you know, test my material out on. And one of the great joys, particularly with the story Bible, we were reading, you know, a chapter a night, a story a night to them. And to have my children begging me like, oh, mom, can we do one more story? Come on, can you keep reading? Don't stop. I was like, oh, what a gift to have my children like begging to keep hearing the story of the Bible. Which, you know, they're usually destroying things and fighting.
Of course, as they should, so, their job and all.
Little glimmers of hope in motherhood. So I know what my children listen to. I know what they read. I have lots of strong opinions about children's literature that I did not have before I had children. So being a mom has absolutely shaped like what I write and the heart of it. Like being a mother has changed me. Like my children have changed me. And because everything I write flows from my heart, my soul, my head, who I am. I am a different writer now than I was before there were children.
So amazing. I love that. Tell us a little about your children. We haven't even talked how old they are. Is your oldest about seven now?
He is seven. He'll be eight later this summer. So my husband and I adopted three babies in 2.5 years. And our oldest is seven. And then we have 2 5-year-olds right now, and they're 8 months apart. So
amazing.
We're busy. We're very busy.
It's a busy household for sure. But how special. And so you know that the feedback you're getting from children on whether what you're writing works, your children are your most honest critics, I'm sure, out there. If they like it, then it's
yes. Like if I can keep their attention, then I know I'm okay.
Oh my gosh, how beautiful. How beautiful. I'd love to get back to touch on your cookbook because I know that's not your first cookbook. And you have such a passion around hospitality and food and creating beautiful spaces where people can come together. Can you talk a little bit about how that came to be and when you decided, oh, this might be something I could do a book related to this? Or, how did that work for you?
Yeah, so back in 2015, I was working on a book that came out and is called The Catholic Table, Finding Food Where Faith and Joy Meet, maybe. You always have to remember those subtitles. And that was, so even back going before that, when I was 19, I had struggled from 19 to 25, I struggled with anorexia. And I found a tremendous amount of healing through the church's teachings, not only on the Eucharist and the theology of the body, but on the sacramental worldview and how we're called to understand matter as a sign of God's love and as an occasion for grace, because it teaches us about God and calls back to Him. And so I was telling that story and working out that theology in the book, The Catholic Table. Gearing up for promoting The Catholic Table, I started a food blog where I would reflect on these things
Oh,
and share recipes.
lovely.
And so for years, people were asking me to do a cookbook. When we were doing our adoption for our second son, and my husband was a Catholic school teacher, I'm a Catholic writer. You barely have two nickels to rub together. So I put together a cookbook, a digital cookbook, and anyone who they could basically donate to our adoption fundraiser and they would get a cookbook. So people have been asking me for years, could you please bring this out in hardback? I love it so much. I want to be able to buy it as a gift. And I didn't want to just do that. I wanted to do something more. And so I took that original cookbook, doubled it in size, added more essays, added more recipes, all new photographs, and the St. Paul Center, Emmaus Road Press brought it out. So that came out 6 months ago now.
So beautiful. And to think that it was created really for kind of a different reason, but now it's available for, digitally is just a different experience from the print, and I could see people wanting to give it as a
It
gift.
is. It's very different. And I love that. So my husband and I see adoption. When my husband and I got married, I'd always had the charisma of hospitality. I love having people over. I love hosting. I love messy hospitality. And he felt like as a couple, we really should commit to living out the charism of hospitality in our home. And adoption for us was just one more expression of that. It was welcoming someone into our home, giving a home, loving that person, loving those little people. And so to have it connected with adoption and then to bring it out is very special for us as a family.
I love that thread. That's really, really beautiful. So wonderful. Could we talk a little bit about writing? I mean, you've written for so many years, but how did you find that path? Is that something you always knew you wanted to be a writer? And how do you see that as a vocation for you?
Yeah, I mean, I loved writing. I've always written. I wrote in every job that I ever did, but I didn't actually plan on becoming a writer. I thought I would either work in politics, which is what I did initially, or be a professor, or I mean, really, my primary aspiration was to be a wife and mother, but God delayed that path for me. That didn't come along right away. And I was in grad school at Franciscan University, working on my master's in theology, thinking I would go on to get a PhD. But I was very averse to taking on a lot of debt, so I started writing to help pay for grad school. And one thing led to another, and I always say God kind of opened the door. I stepped through it, and then he kicked me in the behind to get me fully in there and slam the door behind me. And so I've just been writing for professionally now for 25 years, and that's
Wow.
mostly because that's what God had me to do. He didn't give me a whole lot of choice in the matter.
You've written on such a range of topics in so many different ways and for different audiences. Is there a topic or a theme or kind of a seed of an idea that you'd love to bring to fruition if there were just, 48 hours in a day?
Oh my gosh. Right now I'm getting ready to teach a class in Gaming, Austria for Franciscan University. And I am going back to some of what I've written about food, but also looking at community. And I'm setting the class really in the context of AI and how it's becoming harder and harder to live a human life. And I think food and community are two of the ways that we can kind of save ourselves and save our humanity in this new emerging age of AI. And as I'm working that out for the class, I think it would be really fun someday to do another book that looks at that, that looks at food and community, which are so bound up with each other, and how each helps us live more human lives.
What a beautiful idea. I love that. And who knows where that would
We'll
take you.
see. But you know what? I've got, when we get back from Austria, I'm probably going to collapse in a heap. But I'm trying to like get my little children ready to go to Austria, get my class ready, continue writing my newsletter, continue doing the podcast, finish up another child. I'm working on another children's book for Word on Fire. That'll
Oh,
be
wonderful.
another week. And so, yeah, just all sorts of busyness here.
So much happening. Are the children excited to go to Austria? Does that make sense to them?
They are so excited. My children are great little travelers. They all began life with a cross-country road trip, and they've been traveling ever since. So they're very excited. But the boys especially love World War I and World War II history.
Oh,
And
great.
so they're super
Yeah.
excited to go to some place where people speak German. So
Oh, that is exciting. I love that they share that passion at 7 and 5. That's
they're
wonderful.
boys. I mean,
Yes.
they're
Of
boys.
course. Of course. So wonderful. Well, I hope you have a wonderful trip. It sounds absolutely amazing. Thank you, Emily, for being with us today to share about your work and give us some things to think about as we continue on our own faith journeys. Listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Emily's work, you can visit emilystimpsonchapman.com. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm Rita Bittner. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM, and also WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area. Check us out at CatholicReview.org/CR-radio, also on Apple Podcasts, Alexa, or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.